In this lesson, you're going to learn how to build systems that you can execute faster and with better results by building them based on first principles. To get started, we need to understand what first principles are and how they work. And I think the best definition for what a first principle is that it's a foundational truth. So that means it's something that we know to be absolutely true and doesn't rely on analogies or assumptions in order to make it true. It's kind of like the core of truth. When you stack first principles on top of each other or, you know, combine them, you can create truly new and unique things that improve your life, you know, like systems that work almost flawlessly. So here's an example. Elon Musk is a modern-day scientist and a businessman who's exceptionally good at using first principles. So when he started his company, SpaceX, he went to a number of different rocket manufacturers trying to figure out how much it would cost to buy rockets that he could use in his business. And he was blown away by the prices. You know, he couldn't believe how expensive it was for even the most simple and outdated technology. So he implemented first principle thinking. He got rid of all the assumptions, you know, about how much space travel should cost based on what solutions were currently available. And that's a big part of being successful in first principles thinking. You can't, what they call, reason by analogy. You can't say, well, it works like this right now, so that must be how it is, and then try to build your own solutions on top of that. You have to abandon those assumptions and those analogies and break your problem down into its most basic parts. So in Musk's case, he went and researched, you know, how much would it cost to buy the raw materials to build a rocket? Then he figured out how much it would cost to, you know, hire the engineers and the laborers to design and build one. He did this for all the pieces required to basically, you know, DIY a rocket and learned that he could do it himself for about 20% the cost of purchasing the rockets from an existing company. And that's what first principle thinking looks like. You know, you throw away whatever assumptions you have about the way things work right now, and you build new solutions from whatever knowledge is left over once those assumptions are gone. Henry Ford and, you know, the mass-produced automobile is another example. He used to famously joke that, you know, if I asked most people what was needed to improve transportation, they would have told me to build a faster horse. People wanted faster horses because most people think in analogies. They can only imagine, you know, what's possible based on what already exists today and, you know, what already works today. You know, at the time, horses were what they understood transportation to be. Horses were tried and true. And cars even existed at this time. They were just too expensive for the common person, and it was hard to imagine making them cheaper or more reliable. Thinking from first principles isn't a difficult concept to understand, but you have to be very disciplined in order to actually do it. So how can thinking from first principles help you create better systems in your life? Well, by helping you find the root problems that you're trying to solve, you know, absent any assumptions, and then designing repeatable solutions from there. There's a famous Einstein quote that I'll paraphrase here, where he talks about the importance of finding the root of problems. Someone had asked him, you know, how would he solve a complex problem if he only had 60 minutes to do it? And his answer was that he'd spend the first 55 minutes just defining the problem, because once you have a perfectly defined problem, the answer becomes obvious. And an obvious answer is easy to implement, so not much time is needed. Most of us are used to just addressing the symptoms of the problems in our lives, not the root causes. We create, you know, systems and routines that fix what's obvious because going deeper is really hard and it requires discipline. For instance, if you're struggling at work because there's, you know, just too much to do, it's easy to attack the problem from the mindset that, you know, there's just too much to do. You don't necessarily think deeper about it, so you design systems that require you to, you know, work faster or organize your time differently or just put in more hours. Those are the solutions that you come to when you're a little bit lazy about framing your problem. It would be like, you know, going to the doctor because your heart is beating too fast and having the doctor skip an exam and just immediately prescribe you some medicine to slow down your heart rate instead of actually examining you and figuring out what's causing your heart to beat too fast. What if the actual problem is anxiety? You know, wouldn't you want to address the anxiety? What if it were some other underlying problem that's causing, you know, all these other issues? Wouldn't you want to fix the problem at the root rather than, you know, playing whack-a-mole with all of the symptoms? So first principles thinking, it helps you find the root cause of whatever problems you have that are leading to either too much work, unreliable results, lack of motivation, you know, whatever else. It's a way to shift your thinking so that you solve problems for good and you do it in a way that's best for you instead of putting band-aids on all the smaller things. So how do you actually implement first principle thinking when you're trying to design a system to bring more order or better results to your life and to your work? Well, I've developed a little workflow that helps me get into the right mindset to build better systems, and I'll share it with you right now. It's 5 steps, and the first step is to simply identify your goal. So identify your big problem. Remember the Einstein story from, you know, just a moment ago. The most important thing you can do to get useful results is to make sure that the problem that you're trying to solve is the one that actually needs solving. You know, we're all pressed for time, and doing this kind of system building work is something you're probably trying to fit into a schedule that's already very busy. You know, I could say, don't hurry through this, you know, don't hurry through this process. But we both know sometimes there's no other choice. So if you don't have a lot of time, do what Einstein would do and make sure you allocate most of your time right here at the beginning. Spend as much time as you can just getting to the root of the problem. You know, lots of times you'll find there are a number of different issues. That's how this process works. You find a lot of little problems that all feel related, and getting to the bottom of them can be really tough work. One question I like to ask myself to help get to the root problem is, you know, what problem could I solve that would make all other related problems go away? So rather than trying to figure out how to solve 10 problems, I'll try to find the deeper problem that, you know, once it's fixed, would automatically solve all the other ones. So let's say that you have a time management problem at work. You know, you're drowning in work, you know, balls are getting dropped, and you're just not performing as well as you want to. The easy but less effective solution would be to find all the little problems that add up, you know, not getting to tasks fast enough, dropping communication, lost paperwork, you know, so on and so forth. The harder, but much more effective thing to do would be to keep asking, you know, what is the root cause of all these smaller problems? There is almost certainly something bigger that is less obvious. When you make the root of the problem the foundation, you'll build a much better solution. Okay, so the second step is to figure out how you're currently solving the problem. Now, maybe you aren't solving it. You're looking for a solution right now, after all. But you're doing something to address the situation. You know, maybe it's that you're putting in extra hours, or maybe you're just ignoring things and waiting for something to blow up. Identify whatever it is that you're doing right now. You know, make a list of the steps, make a list of the solutions. Get a really clear picture of how things are working right now. And once you've done that, step three is to make a list of all the assumptions that went into designing the solutions as they exist right now. So, what do you believe to be true that led you to how you're solving the problem right now? Let's go back to the problem of feeling overworked. You know, the smaller constituent problems you might be trying to solve are too much paperwork, your focus is pulled in too many directions, you don't have anyone to support you, you know, those kinds of things. And you're attempting to solve those problems by working longer hours or ignoring work that seems less critical. There are some common assumptions that you'd probably have to make to be in that situation. You know, all the paperwork you need to do is important and necessary. That's an assumption. You'll get fired if you don't get all of your work done on time. That's an assumption. There's no money for an assistant to take on some of your workload. That's an assumption. There's no technology that can help speed things up. That's an assumption. The way that you decide what to focus on when there's too much and how to prioritize it all is built on assumptions as well. And there are lots more, probably. Make a list of all the things about your current situation that you believe to be true. This is the explanation for how you got to where you are now. And it's an important part of, you know, building a better solution, because step four is to question all of those assumptions. You're going to question them by going through them one by one and asking, how do I know that this is true? Now, don't get discouraged here. This can be a frustrating and uncomfortable task. Sometimes it'll feel like you don't have any proof that, you know, something is true, but you believe it anyway. Those are your opportunities. You know, those are the places where you've accepted something as true without actually knowing that it is. This isn't a black and white process either, you know, which can add to the frustration in this step. These assumptions that you're questioning are based on evidence, and that evidence can very rarely be described as, you know, strictly true or false. Instead, you can really only describe it as, you know, strong or weak. And where you have strong evidence, your assumptions are probably pretty good. You know, if one of your assumptions is that you'll get fired if you don't get all of your work done on time, and you've seen other people at your company get fired for exactly that, then that's pretty strong evidence that you're right. You know, if you don't get your work done on time, you'll get fired too. But if one of your assumptions is that all the paperwork that you're buried under is equally important, but you don't have any evidence that, you know, something useful is actually being done with all that paperwork, then your assumption is based on pretty weak evidence. You know, it could be that some of it is really important and some of it is completely unimportant. Or that some of it is important in certain circumstances and unimportant in others. When you have weak evidence, look for more, you know, to help you confirm or deny it. More than likely, when you're done with this step, you're going to find that some of your assumptions are incorrect, you know, or at least less correct than you thought. And based on that, you have to disregard them or, you know, at least give them less importance. And that's when you move on to the last step, which is to rebuild your solutions, you know, or your systems based on everything that you just learned. When you understand the foundation of the problem that you want to solve, and you've rooted out all the unhelpful assumptions that led you to where you are now, you can start to imagine new solutions, you know, new systems to use that look wildly different from the ones that you're using today. And they will almost certainly be faster and produce more reliable results because they're no longer based on, you know, bad assumptions. You worked really, really hard to remove them. So here's what we just learned. Building great systems that improve our lives requires you to use first principle thinking. That means rather than understanding things based on how they are now, you try to understand them based on the fundamental truths that make them up. When you do that, you know, you can build systems for yourself that look wildly different from what they look like now. And the five-step process to help you do that is to, one, focus on the fundamental problem instead of the symptoms that are easier to see. Number two, figure out how you're solving the problem right now. Number three, figure out all the assumptions that went into creating that solution. Number four, question those assumptions so that you can get, you know, rid of the ones that aren't actually true. And five, rebuild the solution based on the new understanding. Again, I don't want to sugarcoat this. You know, it's hard work. And if I had to boil down everything that we just learned into only one sentence, I think it would be, don't be afraid to question your beliefs. Don't be afraid to question your beliefs because, you know, when you find out one of them isn't true, your life will only improve. There's nothing to be scared of. Things only get better. Now, go ahead and complete that five-step process that we just went over, and then I'll see you in the next lesson.